Why does English dominate the globe when it's notoriously impossible to master? Consider this, a language that began as a minor Germanic dialect spoken by a few thousand rain-soaked islanders now serves 300 million native speakers and perhaps 400 million more who wrestled it into submission. It's the tongue of international business, science, aviation, and even France's prestigious Pasteur Institute, despite French resistance to linguistic imports. What makes this conquest remarkable isn't just English's reach, but its contradictions. It defies its own rules, drowns learners in irregular verbs, and hides meanings in idioms that mock logic. Yet, it offers something irresistible. A vocabulary of 450,000 to 615,000 words compared to German's 184,000 and French's 100,000. This abundance allows nuanced expression impossible elsewhere, capturing shades of meaning other languages can't touch. English didn't conquer through elegance or simplicity. It conquered through sheer expressive power and adaptability. Where did language begin? Neanderthals, despite physical similarities, faced severe vocal limitations. Brown University research revealed their vocal tracts couldn't produce basic sounds like E in bee or U in boot, limiting communication to grunts and gestures. Meanwhile, Homo sapiens coordinated complex hunts. Today, we'll hunt red deer. You drive them from the woods while we wait with spears. Neanderthals managed only hungry, hunt. The Basques present another mystery. Their language, Euskara, shares no relationship with any known tongue and may preserve remnants of pre-Indo-European speech. Isolated populations developed distinct language families like Dravidian and Ainu. Yet recent research suggests surprising connections between distant families, hinting all human languages may share a common ancestor. How did first words form? The Bow-Wow theory suggests imitation of natural sounds, while the Yo-Hee-Ho theory proposes rhythmic grunts accompanying physical effort. English shows sound symbolism patterns. SP words relate to wetness, spray, splash. Flail words to movement, flail, flee. Most remarkably, children everywhere learn language in identical sequences, suggesting language acquisition is hardwired into our brains. A linguistic inheritance connecting us to those first human speakers. In northern Germany, near the Danish border, speech still echoes ancient English. They the ist cold, and what ist de clock? This region, Angle, was home to the Angles, who, with Saxons and Jutes, crossed the North Sea around 450 CE, bringing the language that would become English. Though Saxons were numerically dominant, the new nation became England, Angleland. Nobody knows exactly why. Early Anglo-Saxons were largely illiterate until St. Augustine brought Christianity and literacy in 597 CE. Within a century, England became a leading European center of learning. Old English was grammatically complex, with three genders, five cases, and seven verb classes. Yet many words remain recognizable: skip, bath, bridge. Viking raids beginning in 793 interrupted this renaissance. The 878 Danelaw divided Britain between English South and Danish North. Scandinavian influence was enormous. Over 1,400 place names in northern England have Norse origins. English adopted countless Norse words like freckle, leg, skull, husband, and sky. Remarkably, English even borrowed the pronouns they, them, and their, a rare instance of adopting basic syntax from another language, revealing English's extraordinary flexibility. The Norman conquest of 1066 created a linguistic divide. French-speaking aristocracy ruled English-speaking peasantry. This persists in our vocabulary. Humble trades have Anglo-Saxon names, baker, miller, shoemaker, while skilled trades have French names, mason, painter, tailor. Animals in fields kept English names, sheep, cow, ox, but their meat acquired French names, beef, mutton, veal, a reminder of who tended animals and who ate them. By Shakespeare's time, English had simplified dramatically. Gender distinctions disappeared, adjective inflections reduced, verb forms regularized. This flexibility enabled unprecedented creativity. Shakespeare alone coined roughly 1,700 words, including barefaced, lonely, hurry, and summit. Between 1500 to 1650, English gained 10,000, 12,000 new words. English vocabulary offers remarkable specificity, from arachnobutyrophophobia, fear of peanut butter sticking to your mouth's roof, to hendenides, linking connotative words with conjunctions. Yet curious gaps exist. No coolness equivalent to warmth, and negative words without positive counterparts. English readily adopts foreign words, shampoo from India, ketchup from China, boondocks from Tagalog. This lexical abundance makes English uniquely expressive, but maddeningly inconsistent.
English pronunciation defies logic. We have about 40 sounds, but over 200 ways to spell them. The notorious has 8 different pronunciations, while words like hegemony have 9 variants each. We routinely mispronounce spellings. Later becomes ladder, butter becomes butter. We insert phantom sounds too. Glimpse was originally glimpsen, thunder had no D, and messenger never had an N. The British excel at clipping syllables, turning immediately into immediately, and compressing place names dramatically. Barnoldswick becomes Barlick, Chulminston becomes Chumpson. Despite this imprecision, we communicate remarkably fast at about 300 syllables per minute. These oddities stem from historical accident. When printing standardized spelling around 1650, it coincided with major pronunciation changes, preserving outdated pronunciations. Shakespeare's rhymes reveal knees, grease, grass, and grace once rhymed, while the K in night was pronounced. English grammar achieves remarkable flexibility with minimal inflection. While Latin verbs have up to 120 forms, English verbs rarely exceed 5, yet express complex temporal relationships. Speech patterns reveal origins with remarkable precision. Whether you call a sandwich a hero, submarine, hoagie, or torpedo maps your linguistic geography. A computer could place any English speaker within a small area using just 10 words: cot, cot, cart, bomb, balm, oil, house, horse, good, and water. Paradoxically, England shows tremendous accent diversity in a small area, while America maintains relative homogeneity across its vast territory. Paradoxically, England shows tremendous accent diversity than across all of North America. Greater pronunciation differences exist between northern England regions than across all of North America. William Labo's research revealed dialects function as social markers. In New York, R pronunciation correlates with social class. On Martha's Vineyard, locals intensified traditional pronunciations to distinguish themselves from tourists. Dialects aren't just regional, they're occupational, ethnic, and class-based. In Northern Ireland, subtle accent differences signal religious affiliation. Protestants say H, Catholics H. Some dialects preserve ancient forms. Yorkshire shepherds counted sheep using Celtic numbers predating Roman occupation. The most isolated English dialect exists on Tristan da Cunha, 1,500 miles from the nearest landfall, with constructions like how you is and unique terms such as penniman, penguin. English has spread globally with amusing results. Hong Kong's plastic bacon factory, Naples' Snoopy's dribbling sports shop, and Japan's Homo milk. Native speakers number 300 to 400 million, while English serves as an official language in 44 countries covering 1.6 billion people, with perhaps 400 million more speaking it competently as a second language. English dominates globally. 2/3 of scientific papers are published in it, and the teaching industry generates $6 billion annually. English words have infiltrated everywhere. Germans say D teenagers. Italians use cold cream. France has battled this influence since 1911 with laws and fines, yet Anglicisms still comprise 2-5% of French vocabulary. Most foreigners speak English from necessity, not pleasure. In Amsterdam and Oslo, people speak excellent English but prefer native language media. English speakers show alarming complacency. In 1986, only 25,000 Americans studied Russian, while 4 million Russians studied English, a 160-to-1 ratio. Modern communications create powerful binding influences. Viewers watch Australian, American, and British programs in one evening. The concern may be not that English varieties will drift apart, but that they'll become indistinguishable, a sad loss of linguistic diversity.